From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, December 20th, 2018. And on this day, we'll hear from Governor Paul LePage as he ends his time in office, and from Governor-elect Janet Mills as she gets ready to start hers, and what the Public Utilities Commission found about CMP customers' unexpectedly high bills last winter. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light, now through December 31st. MaineGardens.org.
An independent audit of Central Maine Power released today finds that CMP's smart meters do produce accurate readings of how much power people are using. The Maine Public Utilities Commission commissioned the audit as part of its inquiry into complaints about unusually high bills this winter. And as Patty White reports, the audit did identify problems with staffing and training around smart meters.
Those high bills that thousands of customers complained about since last winter, those are due to the cold weather at the time, not to inaccurate readings by CMP's newly installed smart meters, according to the audit by Liberty Consulting. Harry Lamphere, spokesman for the Maine Public Utilities Commission, says cold temperatures tend to increase power usage exponentially.
When it's 25% colder, that doesn't mean that your bill is going to be 25% higher. It's normally a lot higher than that. It's not a linear situation there.
Smart meters may produce accurate readings, but the audit did find issues with CMP's rollout of the new system. Insufficient training and staff caused some billing errors that required lengthy manual corrections and stirred customer frustration. Lamphere says CMP customer service operations experienced a 22% increase in the time it took to handle calls, as well as a high rate of waiting customers who decided to hang up.
They failed to meet their target level of service, which is 80% of the calls answered within 45 seconds.
We know that we dropped the ball.
Catherine Hartnett is a spokeswoman for CMP. She says the company is pleased that the audit concluded that smart meters provide accurate information. At the same time, she says, CMP recognizes the staff and training issues and is committed to improving. But for CMP critics, including Democratic Representative Seth Berry, the damage is already done. He issued a statement saying that CMP ignored problems and cut corners while, quote, chasing lucrative energy corridors on behalf of its investors overseas. And Maine's public advocate Barry Hobbins says CMP has a lot of work to do to earn back consumer confidence.
If they are understaffed, they better gear up, and it shouldn't be out of the ratepayers. It should be out of the shareholders' pocket, not the ratepayers' pocket.
Hobbins says he wants to examine the findings by Liberty Consulting. His office has commissioned accounting firm Barry Dunn to do an audit of the audit.
To see if they find any irregularities or any issues that hit them straight on from an accounting standpoint, and also to find out what our next steps are for the utility Central Maine Power Company to remediate some of the issues that have been found with respect to customer service.
Harry Lanphier of the PUC says the commission will meet on January 8th to review the findings of Liberty's audit and discuss next steps. Nothing at this point, he says, is final. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Republican Governor Paul LePage will soon complete his final term in office, and he's doing farewell interviews with Maine news outlets. Today, he and his wife Anne join Maine Public Radio host Jennifer Rooks and senior political correspondent Mal Leary on Maine Calling to reflect on his 8 eventful years as governor. He was asked if he regretted any of his controversial comments or conduct.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. It's very simple. My wife said it. I'm very passionate, and if you recall, I have never started a battle in this state. I react to battles, and I'm a counterpuncher. When I was on the streets at 11 years old, I got beat up, and I got pushed around, and I got kicked around, and it got into under your skin, and that becomes part of you. And I learned one thing very early on in life. If you turn the other cheek, it hurts. And I promised that if I believe in something, I'm not turning the other cheek. I'm going to fight back. Many will say that the first term was really rough. The first term was rough because I knew what had to be done, and I knew that I couldn't get it done if I caved. And I'm very, very proud as I leave this state It's in the best financial condition it's been in 60 years.
I guess what I was getting at is we're both grandfathers. And some of the language you used when you lost your temper, as a grandfather, I tried to explain to my grandson what it was causing the governor to be so angry and upset.
What's happened to me, and I'm a victim of my own passion.
Does this go to a point you made to me once after we completed an interview? And he says, you looked right at me, he says, the problem with you guys is you take me too serious sometimes.
Yeah, it's not just me. It's we take ourselves too seriously. Ask my wife. We laugh at each other all the time. Because if you take yourself too seriously, you start believing your own baloney.
I know there's a persona, and I've said it before, that people who like Paula Page, they love Paula Page. They don't like Paula Page, despise Paula Page. But if you want to see the real Paula Page, you put him in a room full of kids. And that's the Paula Page that I know. And that's the Paula Page that our friends and family know. You are very passionate. You can be very gruff. He does it from the heart because he cares.
Governor LePage, some people say, and I know you've heard people say this, that Maine had Trump before the nation had Trump, comparing you to Donald Trump. How do you take that comparison?
Well, I'll tell you this. The New York Times put out an article right after he was elected and said, before Teflon Don, there was bulletproof LePage. And my family and my wife and my daughter will say, I have more lies than a cat, political lies than a cat. And the fact of the matter is, yes, guilty on both counts. I think Donald Trump's doing a phenomenal job with the economy. I think he's doing a phenomenal job with foreign policy. I think he is who he is, and I think he was right for the time. I think in 2010, despite all my gruffness and whatever you want to call it, I was right for the time. History has a way of doing that. I think FDR was right for the time. I think Harry Truman was certainly right for the time. John F. Kennedy, I wish he could have lived a little longer because I think he had a lot to offer, but he was taken down early. So I think history has proven that certain people come to the top, rise to the occasion when they're needed. And in my case, it was fixing the finances of the state.
You just said you have political nine lives. What number are you on?
About 14.
My daughter used to say when they were running the reelection campaign, running Paula Page's campaign is like watching your two-year-old run into a turnpike full of traffic and there's nothing you can do to stop him.
But does that mean, Governor LePage, that this is the end? Or
Yes.
Absolutely, positively,
no,
or
no,
we'll see?
No. It's the end.
I was going to say, that's not what you said this morning.
No, it's the end of my political aspirations. But I will say this. If Janet Mills does what I think, at least listening for the last month of what they say and they're going to do, I'll be back in 2022 to fix the mess.
During his appearance on Maine Calling, Governor LePage again incorrectly stated that black and Hispanic drug dealers are responsible for 97% of the drug trafficking in Maine. It's a claim that's previously been discredited, and once again, he was unapologetic for his temperament and use of vulgar language. But Democratic Governor-elect Janet Mills is promising to set a different tone in Augusta. Susan Sharon has more.
Speaking briefly with reporters after a news conference to announce a high-speed internet milestone in Maine, Mills declined to criticize Governor LePage, with whom she's repeatedly sparred in her job as Attorney General. Instead, Mills says her role going forward will be to put a positive face on the state of Maine.
Make sure we tell the world what a great place we are, what great people we have, what a great workforce, what natural resources. I want to be the state's biggest cheerleader.
Mills dismissed LePage's threat to run against her in 2020 if he thinks she's not doing right by the people of the state. He has said he would leave a reminder on her pillow at the Blaine House.
Who says I'm sleeping in the same bed? He's already said that.
Yeah.
You know, fine.
Mills says she's gotten help with her transition pages off of office staff and from cabinet members. But the governor himself has not offered to meet with her. I'm available, she says. Meanwhile, she's working on naming her own cabinet picks, four so far, working on the budget, and planning her inaugural address and the party to follow the first week of the new year. Being inclusive will be one of her themes.
Maine is a state that is undivided, making sure everybody feels a part of the family that is the Maine people. Maine communities, that kind of thing will be important to emphasize during the inaugural festivities and the inauguration itself.
Mills expects to have all of her cabinet choices made in the next 10 days. During that time, she's also arranging a big move from the Attorney General's office at the State House to a full-time residence across the street at the governor's mansion. And so far, she says, she's having a ball. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, December 20th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.